Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Nip Tuck Coach Radio, your cosmetic surgery connection. Join cosmetic surgery Nip Tuck Coach, beauty expert, and author of Safety First, A Consumer Guide to Cosmetic Surgery, Michelle Garber, your host of the Nip Tuck Radio Show. Michelle's goal is to empower listeners and help them make safe cosmetic surgery procedure choices. This fun and lively show explores the world of beauty and cosmetic surgery and features expert guests on a variety of topics. No hype. Your host, Michelle Garber, is here today to help you navigate the confusing world of cosmetic surgery.
Hi, everyone. This is Michelle Garber, and welcome to another week of Nip Tuck Coach Radio. I'm Michelle Garber, your host, and we are broadcasting live this morning from San Francisco. If you don't know me, I'm founder of Nip Tuck Coach, an independent cosmetic surgery consultancy, and I'm a patient advocate. Finding the right surgeon is confusing, and my goal is to keep you safe and well-informed by helping you choose the right surgeon to meet your aesthetic goals so that not only do you get a great result, but you get the best result. And to create more consumer awareness for safe cosmetic and plastic surgery procedures, I've written a comprehensive guide called Safety First, the 10 Golden Rules for Safe Cosmetic Surgery, which you can download for free at my website at niptuckcoach.com. So looking good and feeling good is not just for women anymore. Men are getting into Botox, fillers, facelifts, liposuction, and non-surgical procedures. And according to the American Society for Plastic Surgery, the number of men having procedures is going up. Botox is up 2%, lipo 7%, facelifts 14%. And I would guess with the popularity of non-invasive body contouring, such as Cool Sculpting, we're even going to see a greater increase. And it's not just baby boomers. You know, I live here in the Bay Area, and there was recently an article in the New Republic about ageism in Silicon Valley. So young men are getting Botox and ultrasound to firm up their neck and body sculpting because they want to stay looking youthful, and because of the tech industry, there's a lot of competition. So today I'm excited to have with us Dr. Steinbrecht from Manhattan Plastic Surgery for Men. Hello, doctor.
Hello, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me. It's delightful to be here
today.
Thank
you. Thank you. I know this was a last minute, and it's terrific that you were able to join me. So
yeah.
Dr. Steinbrecht is a board-certified plastic surgeon and member of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, American College of Surgeons, and the American Board of Plastic Surgery. Dr. Steinbrecht specializes in minimally invasive aesthetics. He incorporates his philosophy into all his surgical and non-surgical techniques. He was trained in plastic and reconstructive surgery at the prestigious new NYU Institute of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery. Dr. Steinbrecht has been featured in Bizarre Magazine, The Wall Street Journal, LW, New York Times, has been on The View in 2020 with Barbara Walters. So, there are not many surgeons, and I don't know if there are any surgeons, that have a website geared towards male plastic surgery.
I tell you, Michelle, we could not find any in the United States, or anywhere else for that matter. There are over 2,000 websites that are focused on plastic or aesthetic plastic surgery, and particularly aimed at women. And we decided to start one aimed at men because it's something I'm passionate about. And while we were making this website, we just looked around to see if there were any others out there, and we couldn't find a single one.
That's terrific. So what led you to decide to go in this direction?
You know, I've always been passionate about men's plastic surgery. I've written about it. I wrote a textbook called, edited a textbook with two great doctors, Astin and Walden, called Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, and that's an old-fashioned textbook, you know, when they used to use paper before iPads. It's 866 pages long, and I wrote in that textbook, the chapters about men, particularly the one for men's facelift I authored, and I've always been, you know, interested in men's aesthetics. I have a lot because I'm in Manhattan. There are a lot of metrosexuals out there. There are a lot of guys that are working offices around my building, and so I've just naturally had a lot of patients who are men. Started doing more and more, and I decided to sort of make it a focus of my practice. And it was the first time where I decided I'm really going to go after this market rather than just passively taking these patients in, but by making this website and the first website that has information about the four main types of men that are out there looking for surgery or interested in it. But I decided that we're going to be the first one that's going to give information for these people. And that's sort of the genesis of how everything started.
I love it. So let's talk about these four categories for men. You've got the model, the bodybuilder, the athletic dad, and the CEO boardroom.
Absolutely.
Tell me about these men.
Those are the four main types. And in general, you know, I don't want to generalize it, but it just helps the men, when they get to the website, identify with which person most relates to who they are. And the first one is the male model. And what that is that's usually a younger guy. In New York, there are a lot of modeling agencies, and there are a lot of men's modeling agencies. And so I've found in my practice a lot of guys have come to me, and what they are looking for is they're either an actor on Broadway or they want to go to Hollywood, and there are a lot of these days, a lot of Hollywood actors actually live in New York. So we see a lot of these guys in their 20s and in their 30s. And what they need is they want sharper facial features and sharper body features. And what I mean by that is for the face, a sharper cheekbone, a higher cheekbone, a sharper jawline, a sharper chin line, and a thinner face, because that is what the modeling agencies are looking for. And then when you look at their body, they may have a beautiful face, and the face gets them the cover of the magazine even, but if they're trying to get an acting job, they have to have a body that matches it. Or even more modeling jobs, they need to have a six-pack, and they need to be ripped, and they may need some more support in their chest. So that's number one. That's a male model. Then the number two person is the bodybuilder. Bodybuilders go into a completely different room of the website. They're a completely different mentality. What these guys want to do is they want to be big and they want to be ripped. What they're looking for is size. They're looking for a bigger chest, and the chest is always the hardest for guys to grow. So they can maybe have bigger legs. They can maybe have a tight abs, big arms, big shoulders, a big back, but the chest lags. So what we use for them are chest silicone implants. They hide underneath the arm, and they go right underneath the pec muscle. They do not interrupt with the workout whatsoever, and they can really give, in 45 minutes, I can give a bodybuilder or even an athletic Wall Street guy the chest that he wants, but he's been trying 45 minutes three times a week for the last 10 years. I can do it in 45 minutes in my office. Then that brings us to the other thing they want, are high-definition liposuction to their abs. So that brings us to the third type, which is the athletic daddy, and that's sort of the main Wall Street guy. That's every married guy. And what this guy is he's a guy that used to get the looks from the ladies. He was very popular, good, in great shape, went to the gym, and then his life changed. He got married. He focused more on his career, more on his children, and then he sort of let himself go, focus more on his marriage. And so for these guys, we have a kind of a play on the mommy makeover. It's called the daddy do-over. And for the daddy do-over, what that includes is liposuction underneath the neck, high-definition liposuction of his abs and his flanks, because everyone's got those love handles. And just, you don't have to have love handles to be in love. That's what we tell the wives. And the other thing it includes is an eye lift, because a lot of times in the 30s and 40s, the guy's eyes are getting tired. And then that leads us to the fourth person, and that's an older guy. That's a CEO or boardroom type. And for this man, he's in his 50s. In Silicon Valley, they're even in their 40s. But in New York,
yeah, they're in their 20s.
Exactly. Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg. But in New York, they're more in their 50s, 60s, even 70s and 80s. And they are not, they're in the boardroom, they're competing with someone who looks like Mark Zuckerberg. They're not quite going to get those big deals that they used to get because people think, oh, he's on his way out, he's an old dog, no new tricks. So these guys, or they want, maybe they have a new love in their life and they want to keep up with that. So these guys are looking to look younger, to be more competitive in the boardroom. And what they're looking for is maybe a neck lift, maybe an eye lift, and maybe even some high-definition liposuction for themselves. And so these are the four different body types and face types that we have on our website.
So the CEO boardroom, sounds like you're also encompassing the baby boomer, the divorced man, because I always think
Absolutely.
That's another category. You know, it may be a retired man who may be, you know, just newly divorced, hasn't
Absolutely.
Been in the dating game for a long time. So I think you need I think you need a fifth category.
Yeah.
The single baby boomer.
The single baby boomer, yeah, because that's exactly it. And we do see those men, just like in the practice we're used to see the women who are thinking about changing relationships or have changed relationships, exact same thing for guys. Most of the guys in New York do it for business, but a lot of guys do. You know, they feel, guys who are in their 60s and 70s come into my practice, and they say, you know what, Dr. Steinbrück, I feel still like I'm 25 years old. And I look in the mirror, and I see a 70-year-old person, but that's not me. That's not how I feel. That's not kind of the relationship that I want to have with another person. I'm not ready to give up. And so what they want to do is they just want to feel not – they don't want to look like they're 25, but they just want to feel like the best and youngest-looking person in their 70s or their 60s that they can be.
So when they come to you, are they a little embarrassed? You know, guys are sometimes, they're not in touch with their feelings and their emotions, and they're shy about certain things.
Yeah.
How do
I'll
you
tell
know
you
when
what,
they first come to you? Are they like, kind of nervous and feel, they, oh,
you,
you know, what am I doing
them,
here? Like,
some of them are. Most of them know what they want. And most of them are, they may be business types. If they're a business type, they know that I have one guy who is in a PR agency, top of his game, and he would not come into my office, but it was his junior partner who was only 40 years old, and the old dog was 70 years old, and the junior partner set up the appointment to make him go in because he needs those relationships to last while the arc of the 40-year-old's career continues on. So these people come in. They may be a little bit shy, but they're here for a reason. People in New York are very direct. Men are very direct. They're very good at making decisions if they have to make decisions. And if they, it's like when a man goes out to buy a car, and I don't mean to be sexist because women can make very good decisions and very fast decisions too. But when a man goes out to find a car, he's going to go on a Saturday, and Saturday night he's going to come home with a pair of keys in his hands. And the same thing comes with plastic surgery. They know they want to do their shopping, but they when they come in, they don't go door to door to door. They've done their shopping before. They come in, and they come in ready to take action. And the reason why, number one, we make them feel very comfortable. It's not a foofy office. It's a masculine office that appeals both to men and women. It does not put men off. But the second thing, when they come to the office, they know that I specialize in men's plastic surgery, so that they know that we're not going to be talking about tummy tucks and breast implants with them. They know that my staff is used to dealing with men who are in business situations, used to dealing with men's modeling agency, and used to dealing with men who are in the gym. I mean, I just did high definition liposuction this morning on two guys. And one of the guys was 225 pounds of rock solid muscle. So I deal with So I deal with people, my staff is used to dealing with men who are in very good shape, but who are ready to make decisions. So you could say that, are they shy? Well, not as much as you would think, because they know that we specialize in it and they know that they need to do it. That's why they come, and they feel very confident because this is my subspecialty.
Do you find that some of the men...
Oh, can I say one more... Michelle, can I say one more important point about that? With social media, everything has changed. That's a complete game changer. And you know that because Michelle and I were just talking about this before we went on, before we got online. People are less self-conscious about this. People are more likely to share their story. People are less inhibited about others finding out that they had a procedure done. They're more open to talk about it. They're more open to show it. They're more open to do it because everyone is throwing all of their personal information out on the social media, Twitter, Facebook, everything so much. We're inundated with it that people really don't even care about something that
you're
doing.
That's interesting because here in San Francisco they still care.
Yeah.
Here in the Bay Area, when I can't speak for men, I can speak for the women. You know, I'm going to age gracefully. I'd never stick needles in my forehead.
Sure.
You know, it's a little different here than it is in New York, and it's certainly different in the Bay Area than it is in L.A.
You're absolutely right. That is an exception. But even in the Bay Area, and I have some if I go to a fancy-dancy dinner party and I have the older matronly lady that's sitting to my right and she said, I would never have plastic surgery because I want to look naturally beautiful, but like everyone wants to look like Tory Burch. I want to look naturally beautiful like that girl over there. And it's a girl that looks it is either Tory Burch or a girl that looks like Tory Burch. And if it's a girl that looks like Tory Burch, I can't say that's my patient. But it's my patient, and the reason why she looks so good is she doesn't have all the crazy plastic surgery that people think of. It's because they just have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And nobody has a problem with dyeing their hair or wearing makeup. But why is it that they get so judgmental about this, which is just an extension of the other things that we do?
Well, I think that they get judgmental because then they think, well, I'm being narcissistic, or it's
exactly
all about vanity,
right,
and it should come from the inside and not the outside. And especially since we're here in the Bay Area, you know, I call it a lot of woo-woo.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of woo-woo out here.
Right.
And it's so when you talk about plastic surgery, I mean, I've had women in networking groups walk away from me when they hear what I do. Like they, oh, okay, that's nice meeting you. And they literally walk away. It's like,
it's
huh, why, what?
Right.
And I think it's because, and usually these women are a little matronly looking, and I think I've hit a nerve,
right,
and they're not ready to accept how they're feeling about the aging process. So they want to continue to think I'm going to age naturally and that's okay and I feel good about it, but until someone really starts to confront them with it,
right,
then they get all flustered.
Exactly. Well, you know what I tell – my philosophy for that is I go to the gym. I go to the gym 3 times a week because I know I have a 3-year-old. He's turning 4 today. His birthday party is at 4 o'clock, so that's why I had to make this early.
Oh, happy birthday.
But he's going to have a great time. We got a clown, and we have trucks and toys and everything, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, I'm a better parent because I go to the gym. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel healthy. It fires off those endorphins. It works off those stresses. And I take that extra, not a big gym, just a half-hour workout. I do that 3 times a week. Why? I mean, it makes me feel good, but really it makes me feel like a better dad because I'm more active, I have more energy, and I can feel better about myself, and that translates into my family. And I say the same thing for men, for the daddies out there, and for the mommies out there. If you don't take care of yourself, and that means outer and inner, you're not going to feel good about yourself, and you get depressed and you feel down and you feel like you lack energy, that translates into your family.
No, I absolutely agree. It does, because if you feel depressed, then everyone around you is going to be miserable.
Of course.
And it's going to rub off on not only your family, but your friends and your career and everything
else.
So I also read about this Forbes facelift.
Sure.
I know it's a marketing term.
Yeah.
About the Forbes facelift?
Yeah, sure. What the Forbes facelift is, and it's just what it is it's a way to have men think about this. Listen, I don't want so many people when they think about getting a facelift, they think about something horribly, you know, like Bruce Jenner, something really has gone wrong here, and they think of all the bad plastic surgery. And plastic surgery can do two things to a man. It can make him look more like what? A woman, if it's done incorrectly. And the other thing is it can make him look unnatural. And my goal, and I say this to every man, is always leave one wrinkle or two wrinkles. My whole philosophy is wrinkles make a man look sexy. They just do. And a natural man looks sexy. He just does. And I do not like the idea of a facelift making you look like Bruce Jenner. I think Bruce Jenner is a great guy. Nothing against him. Fantastic guy. But that's not my style. My style is just to back people up a few years, still make them look natural, leave a wrinkle, have people wonder, did he or did he not, and just give them, back them up 5 or 10 years to make him looking and feeling the best that he can for his age. Now, when I say the Forbes facelift, the reason why I said that is I was alluding to before, some people think of facelift and they think of the Bruce Jenner and they get scared off from it. And why I called it Forbes facelift is because all those businessmen, all those CEOs who still need to be competitive for another 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, all those guys are at the top of their ball game, the pinnacle, when they're 55, 65, 75. They know that they still need to look fresh. But the reason why I call it Forbes is because they can relate to that word. And people in Forbes don't look like Bruce Jenner. They don't look overdone. They do not look surgical. But guess what? A lot of those guys have had a little something, and I've operated on quite a few of those men. And I've operated on people that had to be in front of the camera in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks to make a big press announcement. So I know how this goes. But the Forbes facelift is to lift up the neck, to straighten out those cords that are in the neck, to restore the jowl so you don't have the bad jowling, and also to push the cheekbone back where the cheekbone was, but maybe to touch up the eyes. But the secret of what I call the Forbes facelift is it's aimed at a businessman who can still look like a businessman, who can still be taken seriously in the boardroom, but just does not look like he's went past the corner to the pasture. That's why it's called the Forbes facelift.
So it sounds like when you're evaluating your male patients that you take in consideration their lifestyle, what they do for a living, their age, and you customize their surgery accordingly.
All of that.
That's
absolutely
what I'm hearing.
And sun exposure. But basically that's it, what they do, their age, what they want, what they're looking for, and their lifestyle, all of those things, absolutely. Their hairstyle, all those things come whether or not they have a beard, a mustache, all those things come into play.
Now, are your male patients more difficult than your female patients? I've heard that. Is that true?
Well, you know what? I screen out all, whether they be men or women, we have a screening out process to make sure that they're appropriate candidates. And also, I do a lot. One of the things that helps me avoid situations like that, difficult patients, is I do a lot of computer morphing imaging. And I love it because the patients love it because it allows them to see what their postoperative result is going to look like. And I, you know, just because I focus on men doesn't mean that I don't do a lot of mommy makeovers. Doesn't mean that I don't do a lot of breast augs, breast lifts, mastopexies, augpexies, tummy tucks, liposuction on women. And for women and men, I do a ton of photo image computer manipulation to show them what the postoperative result is going to look for. And Michelle, the reason why that's so important for me is when I show them that result and what I can give them with what we're starting with the template that they're giving me to start with, the canvas, if it's something completely different than what they imagine, then they're not going to be my patient. If I have a guy that wants to be pulled and wants to be look like a woman, doesn't want to have a single, wants to have his lips plopped out, doesn't want to look like a man, then I just say go. My office is on Park. I say 3 blocks up that way, head north. You're going to find a guy that'll do that. 2 blocks south, head south. You're going to find a. But I am not your surgeon. After you say that, guess what? They want you twice as much. But I make sure by my virtual, we call it virtual surgery, with that they have a realistic expectation of what they're going to get, and it sends patient satisfaction through the roof because they are on the same page that I am. They don't have a different idea what they're going to look like because we've figured it all out beforehand. And if they do, if they have some body, and I'm sure this is a completely another conversation that you've already talked about, but body dysmorphic syndrome, then I can
next
see it
week,
when I do.
We're talking
the
about
next
that.
Week. Good, perfect. I can see it. I can see it when we do that virtual surgery session, and I can say you're not the right person for me, and I'm not the right surgeon for you because you and I have a different idea of what is masculine aesthetic. You know, masculine beauty, and it just we're not a good fit, and I send them on their way. Or if it's so serious, I send them to a psychologist or a psychiatrist.
So, do you do that?
Absolutely.
If you feel someone really does have body dysmorphic disorder.
Oh, absolutely. I want to have all I want. All I want is a happy family, a great kid, a happy life, and happy patients. And I mean that sincerely. And one way to do that is to make sure that they're good candidates. And when they're good candidates, either men or women, if they're good candidates, either men or women, then we can establish that before the surgery. But back to your original question, are men worse? They're not as bad as everyone thinks. And I think, frankly, I think that's one of the reasons why most plastic surgeons steer away from men. They have a lot of phobias about men. I don't want to say surgeons are homophobic. A lot of the guys that have surgery may be straight. They may be gay. I certainly have no issue with that. But for some reason, some surgeons, and they're just humans like everyone else. You know, they may be more comfortable with women, and they may not be as comfortable with men. And I'm comfortable with it with both. But the last thing I was going to say about this issue, and it's very funny, is that men are more difficult when it comes to pain. Women,
oh yeah,
women tolerate
post-op.
Pain. Post-op pain, or even little Botox injectables, filler injectables. Women tolerate it. It's something to do with childbirth, or not even. But women tolerate pain. Their threshold for pain is much stronger than a man. And the other thing,
no,
Michelle,
I know.
The taller and the bigger, these big bodybuilder guys, they are the biggest wussies. The biggest.
I remember several years ago, I was at a plastic surgeon's office, and he was having an event, and he was injecting Botox, and there was a woman there who took her boyfriend or husband, and I don't know, and he had about, I don't know, 40 or 50 units, and I was sitting there, and I'm watching him, and he's really nervous. He's breaking out in a sweat. And afterwards,
sure,
he got dizzy.
right.
He said, I'm going to pass out. I need to lie down.
That's I see it over and over again.
You know, and I thought that was, I kind of chuckled to myself, you know, because he was just so nervous about it and really
thought he
was going to
faint.
The
bigger they are, the harder they fall. Let me tell you.
I know.
And then the next patient I'll have is this teeny tiny woman who had 5 kids, and she—it's like she doesn't even feel the needle.
Yeah, well, she's used to it. Yep. We're running out of time, unfortunately.
Okay.
This has been a great conversation.
It went so quickly.
But I want to let, I know it does, but I want to let listeners know how to get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
So how do they get in touch with you?
Okay. Basically, because of the power of this website, because there's it's a, what I say, blue ocean, there's nobody out there doing. So almost anywhere you are, if you just Google male plastic surgery, my site's going to come over up where, any part of the country. But if you're looking for it specifically, it's maleplasticsurgerynewyork.com. So spell all those words and put them together, maleplasticsurgerynewyork.com. You'll get the men's site. I also have a mommy makeover site, so you can Google the words NYC or New York City and mommy makeover, and Dr. Steinmark will pop up. And I also have my main site, drsteinbrch, drsteinbrck.com. And then our office is GothamPlasticSurgeryNY.com. So there are many ways. And if you go on YouTube, just YouTube male plastic surgery, and my website is going to be, or my YouTube videos are going to be the first things that anyone's going to see anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And Twitter handle?
Twitter handle is Dr. Steinbrück.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
and,
Michelle.
Have a great birthday party for your son.
I will.
And
so
have a
fun.
Wonderful weekend. And
great.
Tune in next week when we are going to talk about body dysmorphic disorder. So that'll be an interesting topic for sure. So thank you all and have a beautiful weekend.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Nip Tuck Coach Radio. Join us next week for another exciting program about the world of cosmetic surgery and beauty. To learn more about Michelle Garber, go to www.niptuckcoach.com. To consult with Michelle directly, call 415-494-7211.